Everything is as it was, and everything has changed. By Raven. Read by X-Man Hater. There comes a point when nothing will serve but violence. Without wanting to or quite realizing, Garrick has picked up the threads of Julian's life. So when Captain Sisko makes a pan of jambalaya, Garrick gets a share, and he doesn't like it, but he doesn't hate it. And it carries real warmth, unlike everything else on Deep Space Nine. Later, he goes through Quark's on his way to somewhere else, and Axe invites him to join her, and he's both surprised that he enjoys her company, and annoyed at himself for never having noticed a mind like his own, sharpened over a greater span of time. They spar, play cards. Garrick doesn't drink, but pockets a glass, and at the end of the night, when he goes back to his quarters, he smashes it against the wall. The fight started with, "Why must you wear a chintz dressing gown covered in blue elephants?" and ended somewhere else. Garrick had been enjoying himself. He'd said, "Naturally, my dear doctor," in a number of different intonations, as the argument shifted from fabric to general aesthetics, to Cardassian aesthetics, to Cardassian political philosophy, to one's alleged unconfirmed former service to the Cardassian state. Julian had been laughing, and then he hadn't. "I don't know whether this is real or for effect," he said with deliberation, as though having the thought for the first time. Garrick wanted to talk about blue elephants and chintz again. The fabric had tiny mirrors on it, badly embroidered, so any clothing made of it trailed small silver pieces wherever its owner went. "You tease me," Julian said thoughtfully. "You evade me. You dissemble, you prevaricate, you lie. But what happens after that, Garrick? What happens when you get tired of the game?" "It wasn't a game," Garrick opened his mouth to say. "Or rather, that it was a game in the Cardassian tradition, a thing so great and complex it could only be moderated through thrust and parry." The thought came and he couldn't express it, though only immediate sincerity would have saved him. He was silent, holding the soft, reflective chintz, and in the morning Julian had left the station on personal business, and no one knew when he would be expected back. Chief O'Brien stops Garrick in a corridor and says, with immense toe-curling discomfort, that Keiko has suggested inviting him to dinner. He expresses this thought without actually making the invitation. Garrick accepts mostly for the resultant horror in O'Brien's expression, and he's not surprised when, at the appointed time, there are Cardassian voles in the ops aft plumbing, and the chief of operations has been deputized to deal with them. But Keiko wants Garrick's opinion on her two hydroponic orchids. She thinks that some lack of nutrients is causing them to fail to thrive. Garrick can't immediately assist, but he can recommend a helpful volume, and when Chief O'Brien returns covered in pipe grease, they're poring over it together, Garrick pointing out a passage that might be relevant, and Keiko wondering aloud if it can be adapted for her hybrid cuttings. The dinner that follows is excruciatingly awkward, but no one actually dies of it, and Garrick manages to sleep a few hours that night before wanting to break anything. He thinks about waking up Captain Sisko and asking for use of a runabout just to see what will happen. Instead, he waits until station daylight and makes a formal request for information about the whereabouts of the station's chief medical officer, and hopes that all of Keiko O'Brien's flowers curl up and die. "Personal business," Garrick says to Odo, "is a human perversion." Odo nods sagely, a rare example of a sentient being whose personhood is invested wholly in the Deep Space Nine Weekly Criminal Activities Report. Which is unfair to Odo, Garrick thinks tiredly. Odo believes that personal business is unnecessary, superfluous to the work of order. Whereas in the Cardassian mind, personal business is political business, the architecture of the state, embodied in the souls of its citizens, reproduced in fractal miniature. In yet another of their purposeless dichotomies, humans distinguish the two, and besides, Julian despises his parents and has returned to Earth perhaps twice in 4 years. If he's indigenous to anywhere, it's Deep Space Nine. "That may be so," Sisko says when Garrick tells him this. "But nevertheless, Mr. Garrick, Dr. Bashir is entitled to take his personal leave as he likes." Garrick doesn't know if Sisko is aware of Julian's relationship with him. It's nothing to do with station rules or regulations, and so beyond Sisko's purview. But there's no other reason for the captain of a permanent Starfleet deep space installation to keep giving him jambalaya. Garrick keeps eating it because he can't think of anything else to do. Someone comes in wanting a sharp suit for her bat mitzvah. Garrick sews it with such furious intention that the needle pierces his hand. He notes it from a great distance, that the urge to smash and destroy is on the arc of turning inwards, and jabs the needle in again for good measure. Julian returns to Deep Space Nine at first light, the station illumination shifting from dimmed to ambient. He comes into the shop and throws his bag down, and he looks as though he wants a bath and a good meal and a long nap, but has come here because he needs something else first. Garrick follows him into the replomat and they stare at each other for a while. "Where were you?" Garrick asks, and doesn't add, "My dear doctor." He's graceless and unhappy, and at this time of the morning, hampered by reptilian torpor. "On personal business." Julian sips his Ractigino, eyes impassive over the rim. "I see," Garrick says. He still has a needle and thread in hand. A part of his mind is wondering if he can line the bat mitzvah suit with the paisley chintz with blue elephants on it. It would use up the fabric, and no one would have to look at it. "Oh, is that irritating?" Julian says, taking another sip. "Not knowing where I was?" "Tell me," Garrick says, and stops, tries again. "Please, tell me the truth." Once, a long time ago, Garrick was a perfect agent, a subtle knife, a precise instrument of the Cardassian state. Now he throws crockery and eats human food. This is just another indignity. "Section 31, Julian says, though he looks startled. It's what Garrick thought all along. "It was, well, I'll tell you about it after I've spoken to Captain Sisko." "I look forward to it," Garrick says, tucking away the needle and thread. "Do come by for lunch if you're available." "Perhaps I will." Julian smiles and gets up, leaving behind his Ractigino cup. Garrick returns it to the Federation-manufactured replicator and goes back to the shop. He waits to hear about Julian's night work, and in the meantime he sews the cuffs of the suit and puts aside another book for Keiko. The end.